Let's continue on down to the next passage. What's going to happen in the next several sections is Jesus is now going to proclaim. Each section begins with, "You have heard this, but here's what I'm telling you about the kingdom of heaven." And he's going to say, here's the law that you heard, or here's the rules that you heard in the Old Testament, but here's how it's going to be in the Ten Commandments. And the first is about how we relate with one another, is very specifically, and both within the church and without, with everyone else in the world, how you are to relate to them within the church and everyone outside. So let's look at it together, but first let's pray. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you tonight. Put your spirit on us to teach us something new about you, that we can worship you better. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. If you're in the Pew Bible, it is page 786. Jesus says this, verse 21. "You have heard it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Amen. Here's what we understand. In our first, "You have heard this, but here's what I'm telling you," Jesus addresses the heart behind murder. In order to understand this passage best, we're going to have to go back to the very first murder. We'll go back to Cain and Abel, where God is going to come up to Cain. Both of them offer their offerings before the Lord. Cain his offering and Abel his. And Scripture says God has regard for Abel's offering and God has no regard for Cain's offering. And Cain is stewing. He's furious, like a brother who's jealous of his other brother. Cain is upset. And God goes and speaks to him very clearly. And God says, "Cain," says, "sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to overcome you, but you must overcome it." And this is the same word that happens for all of us. This thing that was going on inside of Cain, that he did not control, that he did not just put away completely, when he went and murdered his brother, lives in all of us from time to time. The word from God is, "Hey, sin is crouching at the door, and it wants to consume you, but you must overcome it." So Christ, in these passages, starting with anger, addresses the heart issue of what's going on. He says it's not enough to simply not murder your brother. If you're harboring hatred in your heart for him, for your brother or sister, Scripture says, if you're the one who has a big outburst, you fool. If you're the one who's pushing him around, who gets angry and speaks out in anger all the time, you've done it wrong. And not kind of wrong. This passage is very clear. That's unacceptable for believers. We must be in control of ourselves. Christ compares our holding on to hatred, our holding on to grudges, our holding on to this anger inside of us, of letting it come out in angry outbursts, as on the exact same page as murder in his book. What goes on in your heart is very important to God. So the first thing you've got to do tonight, church, check what's in your heart. It's important that you understand. No one controls the attitude of your heart but yourself. All sorts of stuff's going to get said at you, said towards you. It's not even just because you're a Christian. We're just out here in the world and people snap at us from time to time. We all run into jerks. You know how neighbors are just kind of potluck and that's the way it is? I mean, unless you live in one of these family compounds that's around down here, then, you know, neighbors are a little less potluck. But all the rest of you, neighbors are potluck. Sometimes you get good ones. Sometimes you don't. And that's just being a part of the world. And yet, no one can affect what's going on in your heart but you before God. So the first thing you've got to do is check what's in your heart. Listen, cold wars have no place in the family of the church. There may be some. You may be in one. There may be just a distant, cold anger going on between you and someone else. Then again, it may happen with you and your neighbors. That may be going on with that vile neighbor that you have, even if they're family members. There's no room for cold wars in the life of a Christian believer. There's no room for hanging on to anger like that. Hebrews 12:15 says this. I love this verse. It's really important. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defiles many. See to it that no bitter root grows up in your heart and defiles many. Have you ever had to fight that? Have you been in a long, prolonged situation where someone, let's say you're completely innocent, we all have time of that, where there's just someone who's being vile, and that root of bitterness starts working its way up in our hearts? The right thing to do is to go straight to Christ. Say, Father, I don't want this in my heart. Would you please pull it out of me? Would you please help me to forgive and help to love like you do? Will you please, and it's okay to pray this, get me out of this situation. But don't let bitterness get into my heart and stay there. I've met many of you. Some may be surprising. Some of you are older than I am. A couple of you. But it's been so wonderful to meet so many saints at this church who have gone on for so long and haven't let the root of bitterness crawl up into their heart. Because the longer you go on in the world, the harder it is. And yet there it is. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to keep this out of our lives. And we are all faced with this not once, but many times across the years, where we can just grow bitter at other people. But congregation, watch what is in your heart. You must keep it clean and free of bitterness. And the real problem with allowing that into your heart is it will impede your worship. That's what this passage says. He says, If you come to the altar to offer your sacrifice and you recognize that your brother has something against you, just leave your sacrifice at the altar and go take care of it. So you see, the first thing is this. You've got to check what is in your own heart. But the second is this. If it's on the other hand that somebody has something against you, first go and be reconciled. First go and be reconciled. As long as it depends on you, Scripture says, live at peace with those who are around you. I've said before to students, I've said this, it might be too bold. I won't say it to you, any of you at any point in the future. I might. I've said it to students before who are carrying on, who are allowing something silly, who are allowing some kind of anger, some kind of quarrel, some kind of tiff to blow up and be the biggest part of their lives. There is nothing worse in life than like passive-aggressive Instagram posts or Facebook posts. There is nothing worse in life than someone who's just kind of snarky and posting things. Oh, well, that wasn't really about you. Was it? I don't know. Oh, man, I don't have time for it. And so I've said to plenty of students, my students who I love, good Christians, when they get into that spot in life, gone up to them and said, hey, listen, when you get to church today, when you get to church on Sunday, whenever you're back in there, if you want to keep on in this, if you want to hold on to this anger, don't sing with us when we go to sing. You're welcome to hold on to that, but don't you dare sing with us. Because that's not going to be worship if you want to hold on to this bitterness and anger in your life. If you're not willing to, for your part, live at peace with everyone else, if you're not willing to have reconciliation, if you're not willing to let it go and move on, then you probably ought not open your mouth to sing praise songs to God. Because it was Christ himself who died for all of us while we were still sinners. We can't have an attitude. We can't have a heart that holds on to bitterness to other people. If you're not willing to let it go, if you're not willing to go and be reconciled, if you're not willing to be that person who leaves their sacrifice at the altar to go and take care of business before they offer it, then you probably shouldn't offer it at all. I have, long in the past, worked with some people who are hard to work with. No surprise there, you've worked with people who are hard to work with. Found myself in a situation where it was years that I had to put up with and tolerate this. It was always something snide and snarky and sassy, all the S's. It was always something like that. It was always some kind of knock. And it was always under the guise of, oh, I'm just joking. But it wasn't. It was serious. It was always angry and jealous and callous. And the right answer in that situation, when you were there, when I was there, is to keep your mouth shut. So long as it depends on you, live at peace with all those around you. Sometimes the goal in Christianity, when we're talking about worshiping God while working with people who are just angry or mean, sometimes winning isn't getting your right way. Winning is simply to have endured in peace and silence, that you never flipped over a chair, that you never Bobby Knighted them, that you never got angry and just went off on them like they deserved. Obeying this scripture means that sometimes we simply silently bear it. I tell you what, if you don't take that to Christ, that will cause a root of bitterness in you. But when you silently hold on to these things and carry them without needing to get reconciled, a lot of times when people talk about reconciliation in church, what they mean is, someone's done something wrong to me, and I need some reconciliation. We need to have a little come together. We need to have, somebody's got to judge between us so they can tell me I'm right. No. Rather, just, we bear it because Christ bore our sins. If you understand correctly that what Christ has carried on behalf of you is greater than what anyone else is carrying, what are greater than what you're carrying on behalf of those around you, then it's easy. And if you'll take it to Christ, you'll find the strength you need to do so with a joyful heart. It's especially difficult if you've ever been on a committee or in any kind of church leadership position. It's difficult. And yet, as Christ carried the sins of all of us, we carry the sins of each other. It's what we do. First of all, check what's in your heart. Second of all, you need to make sure you go and be reconciled. It's not about them, it's about you. Leaving your sacrifice at the altar and going to be reconciled doesn't mean, hey, wait a second, someone's been a jerk to me, I'm going to go take care of business before I come and worship. No. It means whenever you have done wrong to them, you go and apologize. One of the best things you can teach your children, one of the best things you can teach your grandchildren is how to apologize. They need to see you do it. They need to see you when you inevitably, because it's parenting, so when you inevitably snap at them, they need to see you not be perfect, because they won't be perfect either. They need to see you be forgiving and apologetic. They're not going to learn how to apologize themselves unless you go and say, hey, honey, I'm so sorry. That wasn't okay. I'm not going to do it again. This is how you apologize, right? If you need to hear it today, if you never got that from your family, here's how an apology works. I'm sorry. You have to specify what we're talking about here. I'm sorry because I yelled at you. And then the last part of an apology is very important. I will not do it again. Those are the steps that you need to make sure you hit on. And we apologize. We teach each other to do it. We teach our children to do it. We make sure it's clear. So long as it depends on you. We're not insisting that others apologize to us. Absolutely, we're just willing to let it go and let it be gone and let it be done with. But when it is on you and your fault, go and apologize. The last thing Jesus says is this one. Get to it early. As he's talking here in the last verses, he says, verse 25, settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Notice that now we've switched. This isn't even within the kingdom. This isn't even within the church. This is with any other neighbor. If you're going to a court, it ought not be between believers anyway. So this is with not believers. But settle your matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and the officer may throw you in prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid every last penalty. As long as it depends on you, live at peace with all those around you. When there's a scuff to settle, Scripture uses a phrase elsewhere. Jesus is telling the parable of the one who builds the tower. He says, what person goes out and builds a tower and doesn't count the cost beforehand? And then if they don't count the cost properly, there's a half-built tower and everyone makes fun of them. And he says, what kind of king will not, before he goes to war with a neighboring country, sit down and think this through carefully and count up what he has going for him and what's on the other side there to make sure that this is going to work out? And when he recognizes that he can't win, God says, sue for peace. Love the phrase. It's an old King James one. Sue for peace. Go and beg for peace. Find a way to make it work out. That's what we do. We find a way to make it work out. Get to it early. What's Barney Fife say? Nip it in the bud. Was that an old enough reference for you guys? I feel like, all right, well, talking about the whole digital Bibles and phone Bibles, I thought I'd we'll mix it up generationally. Nip it in the bud, you guys. Sort it out early. Don't play games. Let there be peace. Christ, our God, is all about restoring the peace between us and Him. And so we must be all about restoring peace with all those around us. And as you see here, it extends first within a family. It extends within a congregation, surely. But it even extends outside the congregation. We live at peace with those around us. Scripture says, Scripture had said, the Mosaic law says, don't murder. And it's true, do not murder. But Christ is concerned about what's in your heart. Because what's in your heart will always eventually come out of your mouth. What's in your heart will always be on your hands. What's in your heart comes out to all those around you. So check what is in your heart. And if it's bitter and if it's angry, tell you what, if you're angry with somebody still, if you're just having a hard time with them, if they've done something to you, if it continues on and you're dealing with it, try this. What if you prayed for them? Pray for them regularly. Pray that God would provide for them. Pray. Don't pray that God would remove them from the earth. Pray, maybe pray that. But rather, pray that God would provide for them. Pray that God would bring salvation into their life. Pray that God would do a great work in their life. Pray that God would heal them. Tell you what, that root of bitterness will not come up in your heart if you're praying for that person regularly. You will find a way to have pity on them and sympathy on them. And that's the only way you're going to make it through obeying this scripture, is if you're regularly taking what's in your heart to Christ and opening it up to Him and saying, this is hard. How do I deal with this rightly? And then praying for those people that God would do good works in their lives. But listen, when it comes to you, when it's your fault, go and be reconciled. And not later on, go and be reconciled quickly. If it is a long-standing feud, you be the first one to throw out some kindness. You be the first one to say, hey, sorry about that. You be the first one to bake some cookies and take them over there. You be the first one to do the act of kindness, to offer the olive branch. And if it's not extended, or if it's not received, that's no reason to not continue to offer peace. So long as it depends on you, live at peace with all those around you. Because that's what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's pray. Father God, it is a delight to live under your peace in your kingdom. Father, pray for us that we would be the kind of people who forgive like you forgave. I pray that we would be bold enough and strong enough even just to forgive as much as you have forgiven us. And Father, if we were the ones who wronged somebody else as we do, let us be quick to go and ask for forgiveness, to go and make peace. Because we wear your name and we represent you to all those around us. Father, put your Spirit on us to give us the strength to represent you well. Father God, I pray that this week you would do a great work of healing in relationships in this congregation with families and friends and neighbors everywhere. However far across this country, Father, I pray that you would, because we take your word seriously, that you would work miracles of peace and reconciliation this week. And this I pray in your name. Amen.